Today we talk the rights of the child as we delve into part two of Benny asking Auntie Sharon questions. Benny Asking People Questions is proudly supported by Major Minor Music Australia, who wish to thank the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation on whose lands we meet here today and do all our work. Always was, always will be. If you'd like to know more, then head along to mmma.com.au. Today's episode is part two of my interview with Auntie Sharon Miri Bell, and it's a special one indeed, for Auntie Sharon was asked recently to write a song around the UN's Rights of the Child, an extraordinary document outlining the way that children deserve to live their lives. Auntie Sharon's take was I Am Me, a song with such gentleness, cleverness, and exactness that one could argue that the rights of the child was based around it. So sit back and enjoy part two of Benny asking Auntie Sharon questions. But I do want to spend a bit of time talking about I Am Me, because this song is really, I felt moved listening to Nyama. Then I got to I Am Me and I just felt a bit, I wasn't even moved. I just felt really strong and powerful, and I felt great. It made me feel amazing.
I am me. I am me. I am me. That's my identity.
I have. So I just want to ask about, and the first thing I do have to ask, if you don't mind me asking, is this was released in 2023. How late in 2023, or was it quite early on?
November. So it's only just recently. So because it was late in the year, we haven't done a lot of promotion with it. Yeah. So this year we're doing a fair bit of promotion.
May I ask, was it pre or post referendum when it came out?
Pre.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It carries a whole lot more weight now.
It does. And I was really happy that, I just thought, we need some really good feel-good. That's my identity. I can be who I am, And, so it was really, that's what I said to my beautiful daughter girl, and acknowledge her and her amazingness, my darling girl. I just said, and especially our people, we need that happiness and that, especially after the referendum.
That's kind of why I wanted to ask, and because as you would know as well, but I sort of harp on quite often about this thing that there's nothing you can't talk to children about if you put it into a context and a language that children can relate to. You can talk about anything anywhere on the face of the earth at all times, as long as you know how to do it in a word. And to me, this song is quite simply the example I've been looking for when I talk about this. Like, the language that you use in it and the way you describe the things that you describe, and it is from that level of being able to explain something to a child, it is extraordinarily profound, this song. And so all my questions I have, the first one, let's just start lyrically. Two things I want to know lyrically. First thing for me is, like, did you sit down and go through the UN's rights of a child and can turn that into a song? Or B, and B, how big a struggle was it to come up with these words? Like, or was it just roll out and you woke up and went, here you go, and it was simple. Here you go. That's my question, whatever that question is.
Okay, so being a black fella too, got to go right to the start of the story to get you in the context and the flow and the energy of how it happened. So Children's Rights Queensland rang, a beautiful lady named Helen called me, and she said, look, we would love to get you to see if you're interested in writing a children's rights song. And I said, oh, that would be wonderful. But if I take a step before that, I just want to acknowledge my beautiful daughter. She got me a gig with Children's Rights Queensland, and they had never seen me before, and she just said, where have you come from? Like, where are you? Who are you? You are
like that.
Amazing.
And I'm just going to tell you, it's a little bit like that for me as well.
It's crazy. Oh, thank you. I was just totally sort of blown away. I just said, oh, really? Okay, thank you. I said, oh, well, because my daughter's just, I think we've been on Facebook only for a year and a half or something now, but I've been doing this for such a long time. So, you know, it's understandable she didn't really know who we were or what we're doing, because I've always been one. I was never going to go on Facebook. Anyway, so now my daughter, as you would know, she's not my manager, but she's my daughter. And so she daughters me. So she looks after me and takes care of me. And one of those things is, you know, she's out there sort of getting us gigs, and I'm so grateful to her in the elevation of getting our message across now. Mm. And what she's just brought to us is just absolutely incredible. I mean, what she brings to me every single day is incredible. She's my baby. But yeah, so they saw me perform. And then it was not long after that where Helen had called and she said, look, we would be really interested if you could create a song for children's rights. And I remember being on the phone going, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, that'd be all right. Yeah, I really.
Oh, that seems simple.
Sure. I can't believe. Yeah, but I was a little bit like, oh, I can't believe that. And then after I sort of hung up the phone, I went, oh my God, that's Children's Rights Queensland.
Wow.
You know, and then I started getting in my head. And when you're in your head energy, then it doesn't leave room for your spirit and your heart to grow, you know, it sort of suffocates all that down.
Yeah, so, okay.
And I'm very much don't like to be in my head, because then you don't breathe, you cut off the oxygen, you know, everything happens when you're stressing out. So I just thought, oh, okay, wow. So the very next day, and I still wasn't 100% sure that they actually, because it wasn't, I said, yes, I would like to. And it wasn't sort of a confirmation that this would be what I would be doing. Said, oh, we just want to know if you'd be interested, sort of thing. So anyway, the very next day I was traveling out to work to go and do, I think it was a concert actually, going to do a concert at one of the schools, about 2,000 children or something. And I'm driving along, and then next minute, I am me. And I went, oh, it's coming. This is happening. So I've had to pull over. I'm on the highway, on the Bruce Highway, you know, one of our big highways up here in Queensland. I've had to try and find a place to pull over and get the phone out and press record. I am me, you know, so I can remember that, because I've got menopause, so sometimes I'm forgetful.
Sure.
So anyway, hop back, I'm still in the car, driving along, and then I've got another thing and I went, oh, God, I've got to pull over again. So I pulled over again, recorded, and then went off, did the beautiful concert, and on the way back home, Helen rings again and she goes, oh, I'm just ringing to see how you're feeling and you know, so it was confirmation. And I said to her, well, thank goodness for that. I said, because I've already got the song, it's already coming, you know. And she just said, oh, my gosh, really? And I said, but you know there's 54 rights of the child. I said, what, we're going to have a 2.5 hour long song here, you know? She just laughed and she said, no, look, we are just, whatever your process is, whatever you need to do, just you just pull out some of the things that you feel, you know, resonates with you. She said, I don't know what your musical process is or the song process. So I did come home that day and thought, oh, I should just have a look. I've got a beautiful poster up in my room in my office, and that's always there. That's been there for years, you know. And I thought, oh, I'll have a look. And I didn't. I didn't have a look. I was going to. And then I started to hear, you know, have the right to my culture, to sing my cultural songs, to dance my cultural dances, makes me feel like I belong. And I went, yeah, that's going to be first. That's going to be, I'll start off with the I am me. That's my identity. And identity was so clear, crystal clear, because that's such an important word. You know, what is your identity and what do you class as your identity? Not what the person across the road or the educator or, you know, how do you feel as a child? What's your identity? You know, that's so important.
I have the right to my culture, to sing my cultural songs, to dance my cultural dances, makes me feel like I belong. I have the right to eat the food my family makes for me. I have the right to live at home with my family.
And that was the first thing that came, and it was just amazing how my beautiful, my dad, he's 87, bless, and he was in hospital. He's got bladder cancer, and he was in hospital, my daughter and him at the time. I said, Dad, look, I've got this song. And I said, Children's Rights Queensland have asked me to make it for them. And he goes, oh, he said, oh, that's good. You know, and daughter's like, grumps, it's like Children's Rights Queensland, it's a big deal.
He goes, I see you understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So anyway, I said, can I sing it to you? And he said, yes. And then at the time, I had a lot of I am me, I am me, I am me. There was lots of them in there. He goes, you got too many of them in there. Too many of them in there. And I said, all right, then, well, I'll note that, which I did. And Mum used to be the person who I always went to with my songs. And and ever since Mum's passed, you know, that dynamic has changed. A lot of the times I ask Dad, and bless my dad, he's deaf. He can hardly hear. So, but for some reason he can always hear my voice. And he always hears my voice. Like he can't hear like my sisters and my brothers and my, you know, my nieces and nephews. He can hear them, but he doesn't know a word they're saying. But I'll walk in and he'll answer me straight away. He knows exactly what I'm saying. So it's so funny. But so Dad was instrumental in that too, and I acknowledge my dad for that as well. And but that's how it sort of came about. And then I thought, oh, wait there, before the song keeps on coming, I think I might just check these rights, because one of the things I wanted to have was to be treated fairly and respectfully. That was so important to me. And then I, when I read the rights, I went, wow. So one of the ones that stuck out, here we go. Make my language again.
I teach naught to five-year-olds. I'm not going to give you any lessons on grammar.
Just, true.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, right. I always making up new words. But the one that I have the right to eat the food my family makes for me.
Yeah.
And that really stood out for me in a personal experience. I mean, all of it is a personal experience, being a First Nations woman and our rights, you know. I mean, I don't think I need to go deep into that, because I think you know exactly what I'm saying. You know, our people only since, well, the before this referendum, 1967, we were still classed as flora and fauna, you know, like we weren't citizens. So it took 1967 before we were human, but my mum's always been a human being. My aunties and uncles have always been human beings, you know. So to be asked to create a song for children's rights was beyond the most beautiful but very scary responsibility for me, to create something that encases, you know, children, not me, but children. So, you know, having yarns with my nieces and nephews, having yarns with other children, and just hearing who they are, and just because I'm with them every single day, I have the pleasure of being with children every single day. So to be able to have that and hearing their stories without even asking, I didn't ask them a question, what's your identity, what's your rights? I never said that to those babies, you know. We just have yarn like you do through play and just noticing, you know, what means to them. But going back to that with I have the right to eat the food my family makes for me, I remember many, many years ago we lived at Southport, and there was this beautiful Greek family that came, and they, you know, new kids, everyone's like, oh, you know, these new kids. But I remember the first ever time at Little Lunch, you know, they opened up their lunchbox, and sadly, just so sadly, I can hear it so clearly, you know, some of the children in the playground there just said, ah, oh, you stinky wog, go back home, you stink, your food stinks, you know, what's that? And it just literally broke my heart. I think I was 8 or 9, and it broke my heart then to hear that. And, you know, these beautiful children have come into a new environment. They've got their beautiful food that their family's made for them, and they can't eat it. So those children never ate lunch. I never saw them eat lunch once because of the, you know, the harshness from those other children. And that's a testament to, you know, how we've been brought up in Australia, to what's the identity you're supposed to have, you know. And what's the right identity? What fits in that box? And, you know, we don't fit in a box. We are all entitled to be exactly who we are and have the identity who we are. If your mum and dad want to make your Vegemite sandwich and a nana, then that's what you get. If your nan and pop want to make you, you know, if they've got corn chips in a packet and that's all they got to give you for the day, that's what you got. That's just how it is. And sadly, those people now who are adults my age, that's probably their favourite cuisine. Do you know what I mean? That would be so ironic, because it probably is. But, you know, the sad thing is children have that right to eat whatever food they have, you know. We have the right to do that. And, you know, it's so important. That just really stuck out for me. You know, obviously I wanted to have the cultural element at the beginning, obviously acknowledging our First Nations people first and foremost, but then secondly, all those beautiful differences in people that come from different cultures, you know, Samoan people, Maori people, Greek, you know, everyone that comes from a different place and who they are, that's your identity. And you're allowed to have that, you know, you're allowed to have that. It's not all one way. We all are beautiful, unique human beings that come with our own sets of thoughts and understandings. And, you know, that's how we create conversation. That's how we create, you know, getting to know one another. That's how we have new taste buds for tasting another cuisine, you know. And that's why in the film clip you see the bush tucker in there, because I wanted to show people our bush tucker just isn't like a kangaroo or a bit of dried lemon myrtle.
I have the right to go to school to learn and understand, no matter where I am, living on any land. I have the right to be happy and to be healthy. Please treat me fairly and respectfully.
It's a bit hard. If just talking about the lyrics on the back of kind of everything you've just said,
yeah.
Was it hard to, and again, you touched on this, but to like, I guess it would invoke such emotions in yourself, your own upbringing, your own disappointment in watching how other people, you know, it would be very hard not to, I can imagine it'd be quite hard not to get too personally about you personally, you know, I mean, trying to keep it in that sphere of, I mean, that must have been a really difficult thing to do. I mean, did you find yourself having to go over the lyrics and going, like, sort of similar to what your dad was saying, you say that too many times, but I mean, did you have to go through it and go, okay, that feels more, that's my speak, that's not a child's, but like, was there a bit of to and froing with the lyrics?
No, not really. No, it wasn't actually. I have an adult's body, but I'm a child. You know? I really am. And I'm the baby.
I did write it as a child, as an adult, Ben. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah. I am the baby of the family, and I love that role. I love that role because I still, you know, at 53, I still am that baby. But it was hard, but it was also a beautiful process to be able to have the voice. Because I was chosen for the voice to say or to share that message across, you know, and because I am with children every single day, you know, that's a reflection of them and how they're playing and how I see them interact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you're right, you know, there was so many things within that because I, like I said, I'm not separate. I can't be one day I wake up and I'm someone else. I'm always Gamilla Wiradjuri woman. So there's no separateness. It is who I am. And that's obviously, it plays a huge role in my music and in the message that I am trying to get across. But it also is about children. And that's why you hear all the beautiful children's voices in there. And, you know, because I wanted them to have their identity in this. And that's why I sing, I am me, that's my identity, I have the right, and it's them taking ownership, and that's what I wanted them to have, is to have that ownership. And I did, there was a couple of schools and a couple of kindies that I actually said, oh, honey, Sharon's got a new song, do you want to hear it? And all the educators like, you know.
Your phone's out recording it.
Yeah, moss to the flame. Oh, she's got another song. We're so excited. We've been waiting for this.
We've been waiting three years for this.
Yeah, exactly. And, yes, that was so funny. And all of the children were just absolutely mesmerised. And it's so funny to see them and then, you know, when you're sharing a new song to them and they're just – wow. And then the next minute, you know, they're I am me, they're singing it. And I said, oh, I can't hear you. And then they sing louder and they're, you know, that's your song. I made this for you. You know, that's your song. And, yeah, then you get a little email or a text from one of the educators saying, Thank you, Sharon. We've just been singing that song all day, and you've only sung it to the children once. So.
When's it being released? Because I don't think I can do this for much longer. It's funny you should talk about the children, though, because one of the things about Yama, which was expecting to hear children any minute now, and it just didn't happen. And at the time, when I heard IME, I was like, that's kind of what I kept imagining was going to happen in the other album. But what's really interesting, in the course of this conversation, I realise now Yama's incredibly personal to you, and it's about your life and sharing your life. And jump in and correct me if I'm completely wrong, whereas this other one is about you're writing it for people. And going back to the idea of how considered you are and how much you really think through the process of anything that you create, I guess there was an intention of kind of going, this is not an album for other voices. This song is a song for other voices.
Yeah.
And there was that real clear distinction. I'm assuming that's kind of the thought process behind the decision to not have children on Yama?
There was a song, which you may hear on a new album. There was a song that I was thinking of. I've always wanted to have children and in my songs and have because it's theirs, you know, I create this for them, you know. So, but I guess, yeah, it just didn't sort of, like, as the album grew, it didn't sort of, yeah, it wasn't the same sort of energy that was flowing through the album. And I mean, through, even though it was very, obviously very personal, and there's lots of, you know, the music that's in there and some of the animals, the noises that you hear are very much messages for mum, you know, because it was all about mum. But it still was obviously an album for children to listen to, and hopefully, well, from what I can see, they love it and enjoy it. But yeah, there was a thought. So it's funny that you asked that. There was a thought to bring a song in. But yeah, it didn't happen. The energy just didn't come. And then when I was asked to create this song, it was very much, it's children's rights. It's all about children. They've got
to
be there.
They have to be there, right?
Yeah.
Look, I will have to kind of wrap it up because it is, and I kind of had this little suspicion it would, you know, I often do these. There's some podcasts I do where I write all these questions with a pretty clear knowledge I'm not really going to ask any of them. So, and I kind of did that, but we didn't need to. Everything else has been amazing.
Okay.
I do have one more question, which I will ask. I'm also happy just to leave it out if you prefer not to have it in.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's so calculated, like you're saying, and you did just hint then that there's a new album potentially coming, and it's been, 2024, so it's almost 4 years since the last album. You've had this single. Your last single, I Am Me, as we've just explained, is this incredibly beautiful song about the rights of a child, of all children, and particularly the children in your community and First Nations people. We also are coming out of one of Australia's darkest patches after the referendum. And I wonder, has that informed, or how does that inform you wanting to make what clearly is the new album? As like, because I feel like you're someone who responds to things that move you deeply, and that's usually your calling, to create something new. Has the last 6 months kind of been a bit of a catalyst to make you go, I need to come out again and say something and do something?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. For me, first and foremost, is well-being. And I'm going to get emotional again.
Sorry.
just seeing the effect that had on so many of our people and our elders especially, to make the decision yes or no for me was hard. But listening to our elders, you know, hearing their voices, and you know, they said we've lived through one referendum and then have been classed as a citizen afterwards. But then to, you know, that's why they had said yes, many of the elders that I had spoken to. There were some elders that said no too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's entitled to yes or no, and you know, respect to all of our First Nations mob and, you know, for doing what it is that they felt right in their heart. But listening to a lot of the elders that I had spoken to were just very heartbroken about the whole thing, and had that hope that if Australia had said yes, that when they pass, that there may be some really big change happening within this nation. So to see them, it was really rough, and you know, it was really heartfelt and very, very sad, you know. So for me, the most important thing, first and foremost, is our well-being and how we look after ourselves, you know. And that's what the new album's about, is about, it's about well-being and about taking care of yourself and doing that. So, and I hope that sort of resonates with a lot of people, about just taking that breath and just taking care of yourself. Because I suppose for me, I always explain it as, you know how some people say when your cup is full, then you can overflow with that. I always talk about it being our gulaman, which is our beautiful vessel or container that we put our medicine in. So when we put that in, our medicine is our food and our beautiful, you know, things that come from Mother Earth, obviously, and our water. So when that's full, you can give. But if it's all empty, I have nothing to give you. So I am very invested in that. I even have a professional development session that's all about well-being, because as educators, we give 1,100,000,000%, and then, you know, our families get the worst of us, you know, because we're so passionate about what we do. And this is something you don't know, but in 2009, that's what changed my whole entire life. I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and it completely changed my life. So after all of that happened and I went through a whole heap of healing, that's when I decided I'm going out on my own. I'm just going to have my own business. And you know, so a lot of those times when you asked me, I sort of hadn't thought about it, but there was times where I needed a lot of healing and I needed time and space, and it does take a long time for me to produce something. Mm-hmm. I don't want to change that, but I also want to I don't know how I can do that to sort of get some more things out in a bit more of a way. But I'm happy with what's happening.
Look, from an outsider, you don't sound like you're struggling for work and things like that. I think you're doing fine. But I also think, look, just to kind of, you know, reiterate what I've sort of touched on. I mean, I feel that you couldn't do it any other way. I think even you have it. Well, I think if you have an idea, I think you need to really understand why that idea has been sent. And I think you need to understand why that idea is important to pursue and what does it mean to pursue it. Because you said it before, like you don't, you know, with IME, you said it just kind of dropped out of nowhere and landed in your throat and came out on your phone and that was it, you know. And I think there's something, you know, there's something really, really special about that, because you sort of can then acknowledge, okay, because it's kind of potentially come from somewhere else, I need to not just make it my thing. I need to find out why it's fallen, why it's chosen me. What do I need to do? And I think that is actually really true in all your work. And I think that's what's really interesting about the first album you did with Sue and Peter, is it was a collaboration, and it was almost like the three of you going, hey, let's do this and write some stuff. Whereas from that point on, you went, hang on, I need to really understand now what my output is. And, you know, hey, if three albums happen in a year, I don't think they'll sound any different to if an album happens every 5 years, because I think you're only going to do it when you're ready to do it. Yeah. And maybe there's a flurry of that, or maybe there's not. Anyway, that's my random take.
It happens as it's meant to happen, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was so nice to meet you and talk about you. So, I really appreciate your honesty and your desire to actually just go, no, this is exactly how it happened. And I think it's what makes the music so special. So thank you.
You're welcome.
From the bottom of my heart, as my son would say, I love you with all my heart. I'm like going, okay, how many have you got?
I love that.
Yeah, so from the bottom of all my heart, so I appreciate you taking time out today to talk to me on Benny Asking People Questions.
Thank you. It's been a great honour, and, it's been beautiful to get to know you too, even though we didn't have too much yarn about you, but, yeah, it's been lovely. You have beautiful energy about you, and I'm really, really happy that we've met, and, yeah, it's really lovely to be able to share a bit of my story and, you know, why I do what I do and, who I am.
And, look, hey, sounds like we might have to do it again in about 6 months from now anyway, because there'll be something else to talk about.
There's a new album coming out. It's coming out. Can't wait.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yinjimara.
If you'd like to know more about Auntie Sharon and all her work, then head along to indigenousinsights.com.au. And, of course, for more Benny Time goodness, head along to bennytime.com. Thanks for listening to me asking Auntie Sharon questions.